Now, back to Dr. Michael Ziegler.
Thank you, Mark. Today, I'm visiting with Dr. Jeff Gibbs, a longtime author and teacher in our church body. Welcome back to the program, Jeff, and blessed Palm Sunday to you.
Thank you, Mike, also to you, and it's a pleasure to be here.
So today's message was based on this really famous passage from 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter, as it's sometimes called. It's one of those passages that you hear it maybe at weddings. It's associated with love and marriage. But as I mentioned in the sermon, that's not the context in the letter. So Jeff, could you just outline again, what is the context of 1 Corinthians 13 and the chapters that surround it?
Yeah, the context is Christians who have been putting one another down, insisting that they are more important, Christians who have been despising one another and not being patient. I sometimes would joke and say 1 Corinthians 13 should not be read at a wedding. It should be read at marriage counseling. Right? And of course, it's Christ's love, you know, as you proclaimed. So if Christ's love is weak or fading or absent, I mean, there's something's bad wrong here. And so Paul's calling them to a different posture toward one another in light of Christ's posture toward them.
Again, I mentioned this in the sermon that when I meditate on these verses, sometimes I feel good about them. Like I could wait patiently. I could show kindness, but other times they feel like something I can never live up to. How does Paul mean for them to be more than just an ideal that hangs over us that we can't live up to?
Well, I can't read the mind of the apostle here, right? But in a way, I think of some of the things that our Lord said in the Sermon on the Mount, for instance. He said, you've heard that it was said, you should not commit adultery, but I say that whoever looks at a woman to desire her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Okay, now how are you going to apply that? And I think maybe the first thing to do, as basic as it sounds, is just believe it. Oh, wow. Okay, just believe it. Love suffers long. It bears patiently. Love doesn't rejoice in evil, but rejoices together with the truth. Oh.
So he's actually describing a better way.
Exactly.
For us to live. The most excellent way.
Exactly. And they may know it, they may not, but he's teaching them. And so the first thing to do with true and wholesome teaching is to simply believe it, right? And then you might turn to a family member or a friend to say, oh man, I need to do this for that person today and I'm going to do it. Why? Because I'm a branch in the vine, right? Because this is my friend and I love them. Or you might say, okay, then I'm not even close to this. What am I going to do? See, so it depends on how the teaching impacts you. But I think it can impact me on the same day, maybe in different ways. But the first thing is to just believe it and then let it do whatever it's supposed to do, always in the context of God's love for us, right? God is love, right? John said that, not Paul, but...
And the fact that all God's people are involved here is, and that's part of his point I hear, is that none of us are sufficient to do this on our own. To have this display of love is part of the work of the whole body of Christ.
Exactly right. And that today I'm a giver, tomorrow I'm a receiver. And so C.S. Lewis said one time that when the perfect comes, you know, Paul ends the chapter that way, he said that will be a time of unbounded giving and unashamed receiving. We sometimes say it is more blessed to give than to receive because I'm embarrassed to receive, right? Oh, I don't know, thank you. No, that's okay, don't bother, see? But no, I have needs, you have needs. I need to be loved, so do you. And so we can give and receive in the community, whether it's the community in a home or community in a Bible class or at a church potluck or just out with friends. I mean, that's just the way it works.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you, Mike. It's a pleasure to be here.